Again, good morning. My name is Adam Radcliffe. I'm one of the pastors at Downtown Presbyterian Church. Been serving there for about 4 years. I am extremely grateful for the opportunity to be able to open God's Word for us today. This is my first time at Devinger Road ARP, and I'm especially thankful this morning to your pastor, Andrew, and to the session for allowing me to have the pulpit today. It's a tremendous privilege for me, and I'm humbled by it. I've been married to Natalie for about 11 years now. We have three small children. Vivian is 5 years old, and Charles Jr. is about 2.5, and Jude just turned 1 back in May. And so we're not tired in the least, but very, very thankful. God has been extremely kind to us. But again, good morning, and glad to be here with you. Would anyone here disagree that in these past few months, more than in recent years, we have felt the effects of living in a fallen world? Anyone disagree with that? From a global pandemic to protests across our country and around the world to contentious politics, not to mention what's going on in our own personal lives. The question that our scripture text puts on the table for us this morning is, where do you and I run for refuge in times of trouble? When things like destruction that are around us, or disease, or even death are at the door, where do you and I seek shelter? I think that's a really important question for us to be able to answer. Some of us, I think, seek to be more self-sufficient. Others of us shake with fear. Sometimes it seems overwhelming when you think about all the different things that this fallen world can throw at us. Let me try to illustrate with three quick examples. My family and I live in the North Main part of Greenville. Been there about 6 years now. This past April, I think it was Easter night, actually. There were some storms in the area, and around 9 o'clock that night, out of nowhere, a tornado warning came blaring over our phones. I think back in the day, they used to have sirens out in the streets for that sort of thing, but now they just tell you on your phone. Here's the thing. A tornado warning isn't a suggestion, is it? It's not suggesting anything. It's telling you that the situation outside is serious, that the storm is coming, that it's imminent, and you better seek shelter now. Now, why is that important? It's important because you need something that is stronger than the storm itself. You need something that is stronger than the storm itself. Okay, so that's like an enemy that comes out of nowhere, right? And those can create all sorts of anxieties in us. Now let's take the coronavirus, which is really relevant, I think, right now. It's an enemy that you and I can't see, a virus that is so small that you need a microscope to see it, and yet so far it has single-handedly contributed to the death of some 500,000 people around the world and sickened millions more. Which is why we have been asked, or we were asked, to stay home for a season to help slow the spread of the virus and in so doing protect the well-being of ourselves and others. And no doubt there are some in this room right now and others who will listen to this or watch this later who are fearful for their lives and fearful for the lives of those they love, wondering what is going to happen. You know, these kinds of things, I think, have a way of exposing how vulnerable and frail we are, don't they? Others of us may be thinking, all right, well, I'm in the clear because I dodged that tornado or that tsunami that killed 240,000 people back in 04. Or I dodged that disease or that virus. But here's a question for us. What about death? What about death? It is the one enemy that none of us can escape. Several weeks ago, a 12-year-old boy in our church, the son of one of our elders actually, died of a rare and aggressive form of cancer. 12 years old. It was so aggressive and so rare, and so the treatment was so ineffective. He was diagnosed back in November, and he died at the end of May. If you're a parent here this morning, it's your worst nightmare come true, isn't it? Here's the reality, though. Whether you are 12 or 92, and you get COVID or you get cancer, each of us, unless the Lord returns, can't escape the enemy of death. So what do we do? And this takes us back to the question of our text. Where do we turn in times of trouble? Like, what's the ballast that's in our boat when the seas roar and the storm rages, when the world is turned upside down? Or to make it more personal for us, when your whole world is turned upside down, because that will happen for all of us. And this is where Psalm 46, our passage this morning, speaks loud and clear about who God is and who he has promised to be for us in Christ, precisely in those times. Because what's true for the Christian is that we have nothing to fear when we have something stronger than the storm itself. We have nothing to fear when we have something that is stronger than the storm itself. And we do have something stronger this morning, if we have God. So with that, let me invite you to turn with me to Psalm 46, where we see a picture of the one who is that for us. And last thing, and then we'll read it. This psalm was written to the choir master. So first and foremost, it's a song, right? It's a prayer. It's intended to be sung and to be prayed by the people of God. So even as we read and work our way through it, imagine it being sung and prayed throughout the generations for millennia by God's people as they worship him for who he is and what he has done. And in so doing, I am praying that it would become our prayer as well and our song, even in the midst of the storm. This is Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is God's word. Let's pray together. Father, I pray now that you would, by your Spirit, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law, out of this psalm in particular this morning, God, that we might have the rock-solid confidence that you are strong and that you are unshakable in every storm. We pray this in your beautiful name. Amen. There's so much for us to see in this psalm. We only have several minutes this morning to start unpacking it, so we can't say or see everything, but I do want us to see at least three things here. First, I want us to see the reason given to us for not fearing. In other words, why should you and I not be afraid, especially when there seems to be every reason in the world to be afraid? And then second, what's the only right response to that reason? And then third, the result. What is the goal? in all of this. So reason, response, result. I'm a pastor and I alliterate. And then we'll close with 3 points of application. So that's where we're heading this morning. So first, what is the reason that's given here for not fearing? For you right there in the pew, for not fearing, even if the ground beneath your feet were to give way tomorrow and things get at their absolute worst, which is what is being depicted here in this psalm. You got a mental picture, a scenario in your mind of what that might look like. The reason for not fearing given to us in this psalm is because of God himself. It's because of God himself. It is the very foundation of who he is and what he has promised to be for us in Christ Jesus. You simply can't escape the truth of that here in this passage, can you? Because what we see is God here. You can't escape it. What we see is God here, the sovereign king over all creation, who is high and lifted up at the center of the psalm, at the center of the universe, who is not and never will be shaken. But he is the one thing, friends, that is permanent, that is impenetrable, and is therefore the only one who can protect his people and still your anxious soul. We see this right from the start in verse 1, where it says that God himself is our refuge. He's our shelter, our security. He's our strength, a very present help in trouble. And because he is that for us, church, because that is true, verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way and the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, and we can just stop right there for a second to thank God for that, therefore, in verse 2, because it grounds our whole confidence in the one who is strong and unshakable, and in whom your salvation and my salvation is secure, if indeed we have fled to him for refuge. And when you keep praying through the rest of the psalm, the things that God has you saying back to him just keep getting better and better, don't they? So God, you are that for us. In the storm, God, you are that for us. That refuge, our strength, the very present help in trouble. What does it actually mean for God to be that for us? Verses 7 and 11, the refrain in this psalm tell us that the Lord of hosts, of heaven's armies, it is this God who is with us. Right now, in the trouble, he's not off somewhere else. He's not off somewhere else. He's not some disinterested, distant deity in your life, but he is in the storm, in the pandemic, in the diagnosis at the doctor's office, in the darkness, friends. We are not alone, but he is with us, and he will fight for us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, which means that he is our high place that no enemy, seen or unseen, has the power to penetrate and no storm can shake. Now, who was Jacob? Who was Jacob? Right? The God of Jacob is our fortress. If you go back to Genesis, we learn that he was a man who was always in a storm, wasn't he? The guy is always in a storm. Either a storm that he himself made with his lies or that others made for him. Think about Laban with his lies. Or what about Rachel, right, with her household gods? Or think about Esau, whom Jacob feared would ultimately kill him. And yet, what do we learn? We learn that Jacob himself was sheltered through every storm, and that the promises of God proved faithful to him, for he would be the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, through whom Messiah would ultimately come. And time and again, God would save them from their enemies so that they could say, and we can say right now today, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And he is our strong and unshakable shelter in every storm. You see, what the psalm is trying to help us to believe is that in every single circumstance, whether it is the result of sin or from simply living in a fallen world, is to pray with the confidence that no matter how powerful the storm is that threatens you, no matter how powerful the storm that threatens you, God's power to shelter you is greater. And that's the reason that you are safe and that you can be set free from fear. That is the whole point of this psalm. And we see his power on display there in verse 9 where it says, it is God who makes wars to cease. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. This is not something that you and I can do. It is what God has done and what he will do for us. It is all his doing. So then get this. If no power that threatens you is as strong as the one who protects you, what then is there left to fear? Honestly, what then is there left to fear? Even though the earth gives way and the cancer comes and the child dies, God, who is immovable and unshakable, who is our foundation, our fortress, who is with us and holds us firm, he will never let us be shaken or swept away by the storm. For our salvation in him is secure, for he has promised in his word to protect us. Which means that every form of suffering that you endure in this life, you can count every single one of them. And every single effect of the fall, including sin and death, can't ultimately shake you, for you are with Christ in God, and Christ is with you. Which is what this psalm is ultimately pointing us to. The promises secured and made possible for us by Jesus and the cross. Christian, can you feel your confidence rising this morning? That the foundation under your feet, the foundation under my feet, and our fortress is firm and can never fail. The cross of Jesus Christ guarantees it. Which leads us to the second thing that I want us to see here. If God, who he is and what he has promised to be for us, is the reason for not fearing, even when it feels like all hell is breaking loose in our life, what is the only proper response to a God like this? And the answer, of course, is faith. It is to see him as he truly is and to be still. It is to see our God as he truly is and to be still. I don't want us to miss this, because God in his word this morning has given us an invitation to trust him in times of trouble. Not when things are all perfect, right? All the ducks are in a row and the sun is always shining in life, but in times of trouble, where we find him to be faithful. Did you catch verses 8 and 10? Look first at verse 8. The writer says to us, come, behold the works of the Lord. See with the eyes of faith all the ways that God has been and is at work in the world and in your life, fulfilling every purpose and every promise and proving himself faithful to you. Can you see that in your life and in the world? In other words, look beneath the surface of things more than just what your physical eyes can see. In a pandemic or in a poor prognosis, in protests, in politics, but behold with the eyes of faith, which only the Holy Spirit can give to us. Did you notice where all the focus is in this psalm? what are we actually beholding? It's definitely not on you and me. That's not where the focus is. But it's all on what God does for you and not on what you do for him. In other words, the prayer is helping us, you and me, to help get our eyes onto God, onto his worth and on his works and off of ourselves, which is the essence of faith and the freedom from fear. And for us here this morning, thousands of years after this psalm was written, we see this most clearly in the cross, don't we? Where the death of death, our greatest enemy, was defeated in the death of Christ. When on the surface of things, it looked like the devil had won. It looked like the devil had won. But when you dig deeper and you peel back the layers, it was all part of the plan and purpose of God to secure the salvation of his people. And brothers and sisters, God intends for us to see our own suffering, our own times of trouble in the same light. And with the same eyes of faith, he is working for our good. And find him, our God, to be a fortress who is strong and unshakable, sheltering us in every storm and through them all, time and again, strengthening our faith in him. Which leads to the second invitation in verse 10, to be still and to know that I am God. We could spend a whole sermon on that one line. Did you notice this psalm is filled with lots of noise and commotion? Like, it's all over the place. Lots of noise. The seas roar and foam. The mountains move and tremble. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. And in our world today, there's unrest and upheaval all around us. And maybe that's true even inside of us, where our insides are churning and we are anxious. But in the middle of it all, while the storm rages, comes the invitation. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Because right now, some of you feel like you are in a storm at sea and the waves keep crashing in on your little boat. And you fear that you are going to drown. Do these words here make you think of anything? I bet this reminds many of you of an episode in the Gospels. Jesus is asleep in the boat while the disciples are anxiously bailing water. There's a storm at sea and they are terrified and anxious, but he is not. He's not. He's asleep. Not because he doesn't care, but because he's in complete control, and that is a massive difference. And the disciples say to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Maybe that's you. "Teacher, do you not care that I'm perishing?" And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and they said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" Friends, this is our God. This is our God. And it is why you and I can be still and at peace, even as the sea churns and the storm rages. The point for them and for us is they had absolutely nothing to fear. They were not going to perish. It was impossible. Why? Because the Lord himself was with them. The storm wasn't as strong as their shelter, and their shelter was with them in the boat. Isn't that amazing? So the question, why are we so afraid? Have we still no faith? even though we have nothing to fear? You and I can be still because we are safe in Christ from every storm, even death itself. Be still, God says to us through his word, and know that he is God. It's an invitation for us to believe this morning. This leads to the last thing that I want us to see in this psalm. What's the result? What's the result of faith in our fortress? What's the goal in all of this? It is the glory of God and the gladness of his people. Verse 10 says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God, in other words, will get the glory for his great power and his grace toward you and me. This psalm begins and ends with his praise precisely for the salvation of his people. He will be praised for that. And being for us our shelter and our security and our strength, our very present help in trouble and for it, he will be praised forever. Which means that all things in your life, including suffering and sin, every single storm that you endure as a result of sinful man or from living in a fallen world, will ultimately serve the goal of God getting all the glory. And also of you and me getting gladness and joy even now. This clearly seems to be the point of verse 4, where creation is in complete chaos, there's upheaval and unrest all around, but not in verse 4. It's not in the place that God and his people dwell, because look there at verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God and the holy habitation of the Most High. I wish we could spend more time here, but this river shows up at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis 2 in the Garden of Eden. And at the very end of the Bible in Revelation 22 in the New Jerusalem, the city of God, which we read a few moments ago. And in both places, this river is by the tree of life and it brings life. And God is there with his people. And in the end, the curse of Genesis 3 with all of its evil effects causing creation and all of us to groan is completely gone and turned to good. And the people of God will be at peace and glad in God forever for the salvation and that was secured for them at the cross. And he is with us now, brothers and sisters, sustaining our life and our joy by his Spirit, and we will be with him for all eternity. Safe from sin forever and from suffering, happy and holy. For we fled to him for refuge, and he was found faithful and strong. That will be our story. That will be our story. This is the good and glad news for every storm-tossed saint this morning. So we've seen the reason and the response and the result. Now briefly, what are a few ways that we can begin to apply this to our lives? Or to take our cues from the text, how might we behold and be still and believe that he is God and that he will be and do for us all that he has promised to be and do here? We could give lots of ways. Let me quickly offer three. First, keep looking at the book. Keep looking at the book, God's word. Because it's there that God has revealed himself. It is there that he has spoken and the promises made and his faithfulness proven time and again. The world around you and in you may be speaking loudly this morning. But with a mere word from the mouth of God in Scripture, he can still the storm that is raging in your soul and bring you peace. The Bible is like ballast in our boat. It's like ballast in our boat, keeping us from capsizing and making shipwreck of our faith. So open his word and let his voice speak louder than all other voices. We've seen that here in Psalm 46. Though the mountains may move into the heart of the sea and heaven and earth pass away, his word will always remain. His word will always remain. Speaking of mountains, take for instance Romans 8, which I've heard referred to as the Mount Everest of God's promises, where we see there in that chapter that in Christ we are completely safe from every enemy, from sin, from suffering, even death itself. How does it start there? It starts by saying that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then it ends by saying that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And right there in the middle is the Spirit within us, proving God's promises to us. Brothers and sisters, those are bookends, two bookends that you and I can believe in. And they form the mountain peak of God's promises to us that can never be shaken. There is no condemnation and no separation, so keep looking at the book. For it's there that we behold God, and in beholding believe, and in believing being still. Even in the midst of the storm, His word is the very foundation of our faith, and it is the very foundation for our prayers. So keep looking at the book when you pray. Don't close it and then pray. But keep it open and pray the words of Psalm 46. God wrote them for us so that we might say them back to Him and believe. The second, keep looking at the world around you until it awakens wonder in you at all the ways in which God is at work fulfilling His will for your life. All for the purpose of fueling your faith in Him and freeing you from fear. The psalmist exhorts us to come, behold the works of the Lord, to see all of our circumstances, whatever they are, through the Spirit's eyes, that in times of trouble and in times of crisis, when it feels like the ground beneath your feet is giving way, you can be still. We can be still. For no enemy and no storm is stronger than the unshakable One who shelters you. And then third and last, most importantly, keep looking at Christ, who is the Word who came into the world as one of us. He is the one to whom the book and this psalm directs our gaze, and He is the one under whose feet the world has been put in subjection. He is our refuge and strength. He is our very present help in trouble. He is in the midst of His church, and He is the sovereign King of the universe. And we behold His marvelous works in His cross and resurrection. And on a day that is coming soon, He will make all wars to cease. And He will break every bow, and He will shatter every spear, and He will dwell among His people in the new heavens and the new earth for all eternity. He will be our God, and we will be His people. And if the children of Israel in the old covenant could say, the God of Jacob is our fortress, what can the Christian? What can we say now in the new covenant? We can say, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, He is my fortress. For as Hebrews 6:18 through 19 says, we who have fled for refuge in Him, we might have strong, strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. So may God, by His grace, help us to behold, to be still, to believe in Him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You again for Your word to us this morning. We thank You for this prayer, for this psalm. We thank You for the countless times it has been prayed and sung by congregations for millennia, by Your people who say back to You, You are this for us, God. You are this, God, in times of trouble, when I'm fearful, when I feel like the boat is going to sink. God, You are this for us. Father, I pray for these dear brothers and sisters this morning. Maybe they are not in a storm at sea right now. Maybe they are not feeling like the ground beneath their feet is about to give way. But God, when that day comes, prove Yourself faithful. Prove Your promises trustworthy. Be their refuge, their very present help in trouble. You are with us in Christ Jesus. Pray this in his name, for his glory and our good. Amen.